San Francisco in the late 1960s. First they invented acid rock, then they gave us funky dance music and a psychedelic rock band that was led by a classically trained violinist and a horn-driven soul review and one of the pioneering Latin rock groups and more and more and more. My name is Kevin Murnane and this is Tuned Into Music. In this show we're going to listen to music from the second wave of bands coming out of San Francisco in the late 1960s. Bands like the Jefferson Airplane, the Grateful Dead, Quicksilver Messenger Service, and Big Brother and the Holding Company with Janis Joplin were releasing their first albums in 1967 and late 1966. Around that same time, many of the second wave of San Francisco bands were just starting to form. One of the most influential of those bands was Sly and the Family Stone, a group that very few people associate with the San Francisco sound of the late 1960s. Sly Stone was a DJ at a local AM radio station, KSOL, which he began calling K-Soul when he started playing an eclectic mix of soul, R&B, along with groups like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. He was also a local record producer who had a national hit with the Bobby Freeman song Come On and Swim and the Beau Brummel's tune Laugh Laugh, which reached number 15 on the Billboard Top 40. Sly also spent time in the studio with the group The Great Society, which was the band that Grace Slick was in before she joined Jefferson Airplane. The Great Society and Sly didn't get along very well because Sly was a perfectionist in the studio at that time, and The Great Society most definitely were not. Sly and the Family Stone's second album, released in 1968, contained two of their signature tunes. We heard part of one of those tunes at the beginning of the show when we listened to the title track, Dance to the Music. Now let's hear the other one. Sly and the Family Stone, Higher.
Thank you.
one of the things that makes late 60s San Francisco stand out from other times and places that are associated with new and exciting forms of music was the sheer variety produced by the San Francisco musicians. The acid rock of the first wave was unique, and it brought the world's attention to San Francisco, but much of the variety came with the second wave bands. One of the most distinctive of those second-wave bands was It's a Beautiful Day, which began as a rehearsal vehicle for the very talented 17-year-old singer Patty Santos, who was discovered working the register at a local supermarket. The band came together when they were joined by husband and wife team David and Linda LaFlamme. Linda played keyboards and David sang and played violin and flute. David was a classically trained violinist who had performed as a soloist with the Utah Symphony Orchestra before he moved to San Francisco. Both LaFlammes wrote music, and their carefully composed and structured songs gave It's a Beautiful Day their unique and distinctive sound. The band formed in 1967, and they released their first self-titled album in 1969. The opening song on that album is their most well-known tune and was quickly picked up and played by FM underground stations across the country. That tune was White Bird, featuring the vocals of David LaFlamme and Patty Santos. we've heard funk from Sly and the Family Stone, and a unique mixture of folk with progressive and psychedelic rock from It's a Beautiful Day. Now we're going to hear yet a third kind of music from the band Sons of Champlin, who are infatuated with the horn-driven Soul Review sound. Bill Champlin, a guitarist, vocalist, and keyboardist, began to put together the group that would come to be called the Sons in 1965, the same year when many of the first wave bands were starting to form. However, they didn't put out their first album until 1969, the year when records from many of the second wave bands were beginning to appear. During the intervening 4 years, they had recorded an album which wasn't released at the time, and many members of the band came and went. By 1969, the group had a stable lineup and a recording contract from a company who thought highly enough of them to send one of their better producers to San Francisco to make their first album. The Sons, though, didn't want to wait, so they went into the studio and recorded all of Loosen Up Naturally on their own and then gave the finished album to the producer when he finally arrived. From Loosen Up Naturally, Soul Review music from the Sons of Champlin. This is the track, The Thing to Do. If you just look at the dates, you wonder why the next band we're going to listen to is included in a show on the second wave of San Francisco bands. However, if you look at who the musicians are and why they're playing together, the second wave is right where they belong. The group Dinosaurs formed in the early 1980s and released a single self-titled album in 1988. They got together because they loved playing in a band and they loved playing with each other. This was never meant to be a commercial enterprise. Basically, Dinosaurs was an all-star bar band who were playing together for the simple joy of doing it. Many musicians came and went over time, but the lineup we're going to listen to was the core group. On keyboards, Merle Saunders, who did many projects with the Grateful Dead's Jerry Garcia. On bass, from Big Brother and the Holding Company, Peter Albin. On drums, from the classic Jefferson Airplane lineup, Spencer Dryden. On guitar and vocals, from Country Joe and the Fish, Barry the Fish Melton. And on lead guitar, from Quicksilver Messenger Service, the incomparable John Cipollina. Recorded live, Dinosaurs, Mona.
We'll be right back. tell you more what I'm gonna do. Gonna build a house next door to you. Make a look once in a while. With the kisses through the blind. Come on, come on the veranda. To my heart go bumpity bump. Well, I need you, baby, and it don't lie. That's your love and I jolly die. Hey, Mona.
Famous music promoter Bill Graham played an important role in establishing and supporting the San Francisco music scene through his venues, the Fillmore, Fillmore West, and Winterland. He tells a story about how he fell asleep at his desk one day at the Fillmore when he was woken up by two kids who had climbed up a drainpipe to the top of the marquee in front of the theater and were trying to break in through the window of his office. Graham had a reputation as being something of a maniac about not letting people in for free, but there was something about these kids, so he struck up a conversation. The kids told him they were crazy about the music, and they were forming a band with conga y timbales. Now, it turns out that Bill Graham loved Latin music, and when he was a young man in New York, he spent a lot of time hanging out and dancing in Latin dance clubs, so that when he heard conga y timbales, he was instantly intrigued. He not only let the kids in, he took an interest in their band. Those two kids were conga player Michael Caraballo and guitarist Carlos Santana. Their band became so popular in San Francisco that Santana was the only group to ever headline at the Fillmore without having made a record. Their self-titled first album was released in 1969, and we're going to listen to the first and last songs from that record, Santana, with the tunes Waiting and Soul Sacrifice. Turn it up. This is the third show we've devoted to the music of late 60s San Francisco, and with the sole exception of the single track from Dinosaurs, every song we played was released between 1967 and 1969. Jefferson Airplane, Country Joe and the Fish, Moby Grape, Big Brother and the Holding Company, The Grateful Dead, Quicksilver Messenger Service, Sly and the Family Stone, It's a Beautiful Day, Sons of Champlin, and Santana. 3 years, one place. Wow. Kevin Murnane, and this is Tuned In to Music. You take care of each other.